Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You all know that Joey and I love to support our fellow performers, podcasters, and content creators. And today we want to tell you about our special friends over at Moms and Mysteries.
It's the podcast where two Florida friends uncover chilling cases with humor and heart.
So here's the overall vibe of Moms and Mysteries. It's two moms, Melissa and Mandy. They are absolute sweethearts, and they're going to take you on a roller coaster of true crime stories. Of course, they add their little bit of humor and sarcasm, but just like us, they pride themselves on being very respectful.
You can join them every Tuesday for Moms and Mysteries, which is your gateway to gripping, well-researched true crime stories.
So if you're looking for a podcast that's full of mystery but also has that sort of mothering touch, Moms and Mysteries is the perfect podcast for you to add into your rotation.
And something I love about this podcast is that every Thursday, they're revisiting older cases that they've already covered to give you up-to-date information on the progress of those cases. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's amazing. They are really two awesome women. We have been mutual fans of each other for many years. So please support them and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a mom, it's a mystery, it's Moms and Mysteries.
That's copyrighted, you guys, so you can't have that.
Well, I'm happy to report that I have been plotting, I have been scheming and planning, because I don't want to hear no more shit from you, or mierda, as they say in Spain. I bought paint, and this room is getting painted tomorrow.
You all, our dichotomous rooms with this pink palace. And I always say Joey looks like he got his hour break from the padded room that he lives in. Yay! Well, I am very happy about that. Welcome, everyone, to I Think Not, the podcast where Joey spends all of his time outside of the loony bin here with us. Just kidding. Hi, honey.
Hi, baby. How you doing so much? I'm good. I've been licking the walls.
Welcome to I Think Not, the podcast where we recap your favorite true crime TV shows episode by episode. You all, we take your suggestions, and more on this later, but we have a lot of concerns about this suggested show. We'll get into that, but in the meantime, I am Ellen Marsh, and across from me is old Blue Eyes, who looks even more bluey-eyed than ever now that he has blonde hair, Joey Taranto.
I look like I'm about to say at any moment, Potter.
Is that a Malfoy thing?
That is a Malfoy.
Okay, there you go. I failed out of Hogwarts, so
okay,
I don't
well,
know.
Listen, you see, our show is off to a very cohesive start, and if you want more of this cohesion, then you should go over to patreon.com/ithinknot, where for as little as $5 a month, you can get 4 bonus episodes, 3 true crime and 1 true crime adjacent. And I actually don't think that the true crime adjacent show that we're covering right now is adjacent. I think it's a crime, and it's The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. All of it is it's criminal, is what it is.
But don't worry, because Gypsy Rose is coming back. We also have tons of community events.
It's true, but listen, if none of that is for you, that's okay. We're here every Wednesday in your ears for free, and we're happy you're here, baby.
Well, not to sidetrack about that, but one of our perks is the painting party, and we do a quarterly painting party hosted by our down bitch artist, Katie. Your paintings are always amazing. It's actually infuriating that you can sing, you're funny, you're good looking, and you can paint. I'm not good at it, and I'm not being faux modest. I really have no artistic ability, and your paintings always turn out immaculate.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Ellen, you're good at a lot of things. In fact, it's crazy because this community, like sitting and painting with everyone, I'm like, everyone's really fucking good. You're just very hard on yourself. Your stuff is always unique.
Other skills. I just can't think of them right now.
Oh, please.
Anyway, okay, I'm not going to sidetrack, but I do want to just tell a quick little story. My mom was here for this painting party, and she and my cousin did the painting along with us, and we got off of the recording, and she went, "You really do have something cool here."
Aww.
It's really fun that everyone just gets together and laughs and paints, and it was just nice because my mom's been to live shows, but she doesn't know all the extra community outreach that we do, and she was just like, "I think this is really fun." It was just, my mom was proud of us.
She's so cute. And I just love, you know what's so funny is that she's unshockable. There's nothing I can say that rattles her. And I'm like, damn it. If I said a fraction of what I've, to my mother, of what I've said to you, she wouldn't speak to me.
You all, I need to write some of this shit down. Joey was FaceTiming with my mom and my mom said something and Joey goes, "You're so cute. Careful before I make you pregnant." And my mom just fell on the ground. My mom's 73 years old.
I love her.
She is a down bitch. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. We love you. I just wanted to take a couple extra minutes to tell you that we love you. But I have concerns.
For?
This show.
Oh, yeah. This, y'all, just wait till we got some insight into this episode. Should we just get to it?
Yeah, okay. So Joey chose where we started. We're covering a show called Bizarre Murders. You can find it on Pluto or Fubo or all those things. You can sign up for free, but y'all, it's on YouTube. And they should give this show away for free, okay?
Yeah.
Bizarre Murders, Season 1, Episode 4, Skeletons in the Closet.
Roanoke, Virginia, 2011. Randy Roberts, 37, a mild-mannered small business owner looking for friendship and possibly love. Even though he's a button-up, slacks-loafers kind of guy, he knows he has a lot to offer the right lady, and he's working hard at meeting her.
Skeletons in the Closet. I'm just curious, Ellen, do you have anything in your closet that you would like to air out? Anything you would like to share with us? Anything about, I don't know, just something you...
Are you leading to something? Like,
not
do
at
I
all.
Have...
Not okay. at all.
Honestly, I am such a diarrhea mouth. I feel like I share everything. Do you have something in mind? Like a story that I haven't told the down bitches?
Well, I just remember that time that you were on Grindr and you met a couple and they were like, "Come over and hang out with us." And when you got there, it turns out they had like 3 dogs and 2 cats. And one of the dogs had to be muzzled because they were like, "Don't go too close to it because it will bite you." And I'm like, even through the muzzle, they're like, "She's gifted." And then you go into the bedroom and, like, you know, everyone gets naked and they're having a good time. And then they start going at it. They're together. They've been together for a long time. And then you realize that you've just been sort of put in the corner of the room to watch. Like, they don't actually want you to participate. They just want you to watch them. And you're like, "I didn't sign up for this." But you realize that you're just nothing but a cuck. And then you leave empty-handed, literally.
Couple things.
Uh-huh.
Number one, nobody puts baby in the corner.
Uh-huh.
And you are my baby. Number two, I think you just projected a story about yourself onto me, my love. Is that it? Are you?
So the subject of our story today is 37-year-old Randy Roberts, who owns a small business. He owns a little hardware store, and he is looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love.
They tell us that Randy is a mild-mannered man, and we can tell that because reenactment Randy is wearing all beige. That just screams mild manner. The narrator said that he is looking for the right lady. You're not going to get it in beige clothes. It's not going to happen, my friend. But here's the thing. Randy's been focused on his business for the past couple years, and now he's got the hardwearing. And he's like, "Actually, I would like a female friend to share my beige home with."
Yeah, he wants someone to butter his biscuit and play with his... nuts. I don't know. There's no euphemism for that. Yeah. I mean, so, and I get it. Cause you know, in the words of my grandmother, this dick ain't gonna suck itself. So Randy, and we're off to a really dirty start. Today's episode is filthy. I'm sorry, y'all. And it's literally 11 a.m. in LA. I have no excuse. So Randy enters the world of online dating, a place where you can find love and hepatitis.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Randy dives right in and spends most of his nights combing through the profiles.
Within law enforcement, it's no secret that people who are late bloomers are more vulnerable to people who would do them harm, who are criminals, con men, and those who are less than trustworthy.
This show, you all, I know why you suggested it. Mm-hmm. The reenactments are inexcusable.
Yes.
They're very loose with the truth. Uh-huh. And of course, they don't want to get in trouble with anything. So they're telling us all of these websites that he's on. They're like Cinder, Rumble, Binge. I was like, you guys, they're making up all of these websites. And so the one that the narrator says he goes on is a website dedicated to women who have prepackaged their dream wedding. They're just looking to fill in the blank with the right man. I don't know what this dating website is. I don't know if there's a real website. But just out of curiosity, I looked up how many dating websites there are operating around the world. Do you know how many dating websites and apps there are?
Maybe 100?
Over 1,500.
Wow.
I think I know 10 of them. 1,500? How niche do they get?
They gotta get very niche. I mean, look, there's the one for farmers. There's Jew Date. There's Christian Mingle.
It's not Jew. It's J Date. You know, there's a lid for every pot.
Why do I say, wait a minute? I really thought it was called Jew Date.
Maybe there is one called
Jew Date.
I'm
not a terrible person. I swear to God. Am I red in the face? I feel like I'm turning red.
No, it's an honest mistake. They're like gays who want a bottom, but who are tops who have no more bottom. App.
Yeah, bottoms with IBS looking for love.
Anyway, I'm just saying, if you're looking for love, chances are there's an app for it. You're welcome.
Yeah, well, Randy hopped on this app and he spent a lot of time perusing this app. And the thing about Randy is he's a bit vulnerable because there are people on this app who are not looking for actual partners. They're not looking for forever. They're looking for opportunity, for money, for that bankroll. Enter 33-year-old Candace. No last name. She's just Candace. And we don't really need her last name. You know, there's Prince, there's Cher, there's Candace.
So we learned from the narrator that Candace is more of a social butterfly. She's been dating for a long time, and the narrator wastes no time in slut-shaming her.
Yeah.
Meet Candace, 33. She's on the opposite end of the spectrum from Randy. She's often referred to as a social butterfly and has dated more than her fair share of men.
Now, don't get too mad at the show because the show equally shames the men because they say this.
But she can't quite seem to meet a good one, or at least one that isn't still in a garage band with his friends from high school.
I'm here for equal opportunity shade.
I hate that old trope, too. Like, let people live. What do you care? So what? Who cares?
Yeah, so what? Who cares? You want to play Guns N' Roses poorly in your garage on your mom's amplifier? Go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah, and if you're a woman and you want to play Buns and Hoses in your living room with several men, that's on you. That's totally fine. So, listen... I'm pretty proud of that.
Buns and hoses.
We also learned, too, that Candace has some mental health issues, right? And because of those issues, she's had a very hard time keeping a job. Again, I don't want to shame anyone. We all have mental health issues. And sometimes you got to find the right meds.
Did you zoom in on the meds that reenactment Candace was using by any chance?
No, what was it?
Well, one is clearly aspirin and the other is very clearly vitamin B12. I'm glad she's staying healthy.
Yeah, but I have nightmares at night. I don't really sleep. I'm depressed. Oh, what are you taking? B12. Mostly B12. A little bit of aspirin.
She's just throwing pills up. Give me that B12. I need it.
So, yes, Candace has a hard time keeping a job, but she did get a job as a pizza delivery woman working 3 days a week. And guess who ends up becoming her regular? Good old Randy.
Beige Randy. Every Tuesday and Thursday, he calls. Candace delivers a pizza. A lot of awkward pleasantries exchanged. He's a really big tipper. And then the narrator says this.
Eventually, she finds herself dressing more and more provocatively on Tuesday and Thursday nights just to give him a thrill and make him blush.
Joey,
uh-huh.
Tell me you caught this sequence.
I did, but she doesn't really change anything.
Okay, let me explain it to them. Hold on. Okay. They show us the sequence of him opening the door and shutting the door and getting a pizza, right? Mm-hmm. She's always wearing her uniform red polo, but it's meant to indicate different days. And she adds things to make her look more provocative. One day she's wearing a leather jacket.
Uh-huh.
The next day she's wearing sunglasses. The next day, a cowboy hat. Do these sunglasses make me look provocative? It is so ridiculous. It looks like they just had a box of Dollar Tree costumes and they were like, just have fun with it. Like she had like a luau, a little flower necklace.
Yeah, because you know what they don't sell at the Dollar Tree? Nipple clamps.
Dress more provocatively. I just want to know if sunglasses are provocative because I wear them a lot and I did not realize that my sunglasses could possibly be bringing all the boys to my yard.
You look like the Pink Panther when you're wearing those big old sunglasses. You wear huge sunglasses.
I know, it's trauma.
It's very cute.
You all, it is so funny. Did you not crack up the provocative?
I just kept waiting for the sexy part. I was like, where's the sexy part? Show us some cleavage. You know,
look at this leather jacket.
Next time you want to drive a man crazy, everyone, just throw on a Dollar Tree cowboy hat and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, listen, this goes on for a long time. And eventually Randy is like, you know, I should ask this delivery woman out. She's wearing a cowboy hat for me. So how do I find the courage?
Clearly she wants some.
Yeah. She's into me. How do you know?
She wore a cowboy hat. Fuck yeah. Fuck.
With sunglasses.
So eventually he gets the courage and he, are you going to make it?
I know.
She's not going to recover.
It's just so funny. I always want to be in the recording. What do I wear that's provocative? I don't know. Sunglasses.
That meeting.
Oh, God.
Well, Randy finally gets the courage to ask her out and Candace says yes. And the next thing you know, they're at Pizza Uno being romantic.
And this whole show is done in reenactment. He gives her reenactment flowers and they say that Candace has never been courted like this. And as fast as you can say, beige, seersucker suit. Randy proposes to Candace. Marriage. Not like proposing a cowboy hat alternative. Proposes marriage.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Two young lovers in a whirlwind romance. Candace accepts Randy's surprise marriage proposal.
I'm no relationship expert, but common sense would say it's probably wise to know somebody for a full 4 seasons before jumping into a permanent relationship with them. And it's probably likely that people who know Randy and Candace were not thrilled about how quickly they were jumping into theirs.
Yeah, these two hop right onto the express lane of love where it's like, your middle name? Who cares? Your family history? I don't need to know. Dead people in your basement? Okay, so you're popular. I mean, like, no, who cares? They just got engaged. And Candace's childhood best friend, Larry, is like, hi, I love you. I don't love this. What the fuck is you doing? Especially because Candace had been dishing the tea with Larry. She's like, yeah, Randy is boring, and I'd rather have a pap smear issued by a blind man than have sex with him.
Right?
Everyone kind of has a say. Now, on this show, there is a former FBI agent who also doubles as a dating and marriage counselor.
Uh-huh.
He has a lot of opinions and a lot of thoughts. And he's just weighing in on how fast this is. Not only does friend Larry not approve, but also Randy has a really overbearing mother named Barbara. Mama Barbara and Larry, they talk every day at 1 p.m. without exception. And Mama Barbara has been gossiping to the bridge club. She's like, you will never believe what my son Randy has been doing. You know Randy? He got on that website Cinder and he has been, you know, he still wears a lot of beige. And he's been looking for a lady and he found a lady and she brought him a heart-shaped pizza and before you know it, she's wearing cowboy hats and sunglasses around him. Can you believe it?
Yeah, Randy's mama was not a fan of Candace, and she was not afraid to gossip about this woman. She was like, y'all, Candace has been frequenting my son's pickle patch, vaginally.
Well, I really like the way former FBI agent slash love doctor Stephen Moore puts it.
Rumor has it that the ladies at the bridge game considered Candace to be well navigated. I love that term. It means she's been around the block.
Is that a slut in bridge?
It is. It is.
Okay.
Who cares? Maybe she don't want to be alone at night.
How was your weekend, Joey? Well navigated. Thank you.
I mean, what a way to put it.
So Candace and Randy get married at the courthouse. They move into their new home. And remember, Randy has a business. He has this hardware company. And Candace starts working there with him.
I would not want to work with someone I live with. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Just in each other's pockets all the live long day? No, that's a pass.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Together, they're able to really boost business and become a solid working team. And then fast forward 10 years later. These two work together, live together. They're always together. God bless. And eventually, Candace is like, this fucking sucks.
They're very different. They tell us that Candace misses her youth. Same girl. And they show us this, I guess, reenactment memory of Candy dressed up, dancing somewhere with a fog machine, laughing and doing the worst impression of a drunk person you ever seen.
It's bad.
It is. She's like, holiday, just dancing and just a fog machine. And it's like, it's just not even remotely good. It's almost like they're trying to be bad in this show.
I think that they're working with a buffalo nickel and a dream. I mean, and the truth is she was like, look, I want to go out. I want to be bent over a pool table by a man named Eddie while I grasp for leverage while Dolly Parton sings in the background. Is that too much to ask?
Mm-mm. No. Quite normal.
So Candace is like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
And Randy's
so Candace is like, I have had it.
And Randy's a homebody. He is happy staying at home with his two cats named Edie and Tucker playing
How
Mario Kart.
How fucking dare you?
I was just using it as an example. You were a homebody once. It was called the pandemic. You were forced to stay home.
I was about
That's
to be
the
like,
only
was...
time you've ever been a homebody.
It's called depression. So Candace is like, I don't want to play Mario Kart. I don't want to look at these cats. I'm sick of this fucking live, laugh, love sign on the walls. And I don't think babies in buckets make good artwork. So Candace is like, I'm packing my shit and I'm leaving. And she does. She's had it. She gets her own place. And the next few months, Randy just is working really hard to get her back. And my one question is, why?
Yeah, it's all very confusing.
On her part, Candace starts to realize life on her own again isn't quite as spectacular as she remembered. She also realizes that things about Randy aren't so bad and that she actually really likes one thing in particular, his money.
The money, honey, she said.
Money, 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 must be funny.
money makes the bugorum, the bugorum.
Yeah, literally. So, quicker than you can say, I guess I have to give up the glory hole over at the local watering hole, she goes back to Randy. Could you imagine if you went into a ladies' room and there was a glory hole?
Well, I don't even understand. I mean, you would need a certain amount of dexterity to get the parts in that part in order to have those parts stimulated the way those parts, it doesn't work physiologically.
No, it wouldn't be for you. Yeah.
That's gross. Well, anyway, Candy goes back to her beige life. A couple months pass, and all of a sudden, middle of the day, Candace runs to her neighbor's house, and she is banging on the door. Call 911. Randy has just been murdered. Now, you all, this is serious. We're talking real murder. By the background music and this narrator's voice, you think we were watching an episode of Joni Loves Chachi. It is so inappropriate. I know why you guys sent us this show, because it is truly awful. And not for nothing, but over on the Patreon, we've been covering How I Caught My Killer. And it's such a good show. There is nothing to make fun of. The pendulum doth swingeth.
Hard. Yeah. Hard. Candace is banging on her neighbor's door. And when the neighbor, she's like, please call 911. My husband has been murdered. And the neighbor is like, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, who murdered your husband? And Candace has a simple answer. My boyfriend has murdered my husband. What? This out of nowhere.
Happens every day. Well, Stephen Moore says that so many men are murdered and it's usually the wife that's a suspect. No, it's not. Sometimes it is. I mean, we have snapped, but anyway, they have to look into Candace. Of course they do.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The police arrive at Randy and Candace's home and quickly notice things just aren't adding up. Randy Roberts' body is in a full state of rigor mortis.
The announcer is way too excited to say the word rigor mortis.
Also, they explain to us what rigor mortis is as if we have not been living on planet Earth for a few years now.
Yeah. And I would just like to beg them to not say rigor mortis.
Yeah.
Every time they say that word.
Yeah, it's very...
It's Saturday night.
Like, okay, are we good? This is a crime scene, but not Jim Belushi coming out to sing a song to us. It's very weird.
Jim Belushi, deep cut. He wasn't even a cast member for that long.
But he was the Blues Brother.
Right? Did he talk like that?
Do you know he was a terrible person because he hated female comedians? He thought that women weren't funny.
Oh, are they though? See, you told me. Oh, wait, should I not say?
Go ahead.
You were like, I'm the talent, mm-hmm. and you are, I'm the Lucy,
uh-huh.
and you're the Ethel.
Uh-huh.
That's what you said. And you were like, I'm the Carol Burnett, and you are the stage manager. Remember when you said that?
I don't. I was curious. How much, did you ever recover from that MDMA mushroom retreat?
I smoked my breakfast. Thank you very much. They do explain to us what rigor mortis is, and for that reason, they believe that Randy has been deceased anywhere between 14 and 18 hours.
Also, this crime scene is staged. Randy mm-hmm. was found in the bathtub, wrapped in a blanket, and he had a plastic bag over his head. And they think it's this really sad, pathetic attempt to make it look like he had been suffocated to death. But as they look closer, it's clear that this man had been bludgeoned to death. And they mm-hmm. use the term overkill, which we hate, but that's what it was. And usually when you hear about overkill, it's a raged filled murder.
Yeah. And so they continue their search of the apartment and they find a high heel, not just any high heel. They want us to really know it was an inexpensive one.
Yes.
I'm not sure why they needed to add that adjective, but it was an inexpensive high heel. So obviously, Stephen Moore and the police know that this was not only a murder, this was very specific because that inexpensive high heel was covered in blood.
That is a horrible way to die.
I mean, I guess good thing it was inexpensive. Also, I feel like we can joke about this because, side note, this is not actually the way he died. This is totally dramatized.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Like, who even thought of this?
I mean, it's very single white female. That's the only time I've ever heard of it.
You know, I've never seen that movie.
Okay. So, side note, I'm making the glad it wasn't an expensive heel joke. That didn't happen.
Okay.
But could you imagine if they were like, don't take the Louboutins, take the Steve Maddens. Take this. I mean, not for Steve Madden are still expensive. I don't know what I'm talking about, but yeah. Whatever. It was an expensive.
Is that a Jessica Simpson heel? Hi-ya!
I love Jessica Simpson shoes. I
hear
something.
They're really comfortable. Okay, we're getting off track.
We're getting off track. Because this episode is preposterous, it was not a heel.
So investigators continue searching throughout the apartment, and when they get to the bed, they pull back the covers.
The sheets on the couple's bed have a story to tell of their own. They're in complete disarray. Except for the very noticeable dried blood puddle left from the stab wounds that seemed to match Randy's chest.
Something happened to Randy in this bed.
Mm-hmm. And then Stephen Moore, or whatever his name is, retired FBI agent. I really do not know why this man is here. He says, well, you know, if a murder occurs, it's probably between two people romantically involved. No, it's not. No, it's literally not.
Mm-hmm.
We cover home invasions. Are you former FBI because you were kicked out of the FBI? No, it's not, sir. Thank God this is on YouTube, not on Netflix, or we'd have a lot of really dumb people running around. I don't know.
Yeah, this man is like, you know what? I'm just going to say things and say them like they're factual, and then people will just accept that it's that.
Exactly. You can say anything if you have a microphone.
And so having all of this information, the police are like, okay, so if Randy has been dead for about 16 hours, what the fuck has Candace been doing for those 16 hours? So now we go back in time to a couple months after Candace's return to Randy. It's July 4th, and Candy and Randy.
I know. Did you just... And Candy is apparently Randy.
Wow. Oh, so Candy and Randy are in downtown watching the fireworks. And when it's all over, Randy was like, that was nice. Let's go home. But Candy's like, no, I don't want to do that.
I want to go bar hopping with the fog machine.
I want to dance like no one's watching.
Just like the sign in our kitchen says.
I want to shake my knockers in a dark room.
I want to wear inexpensive heels and get wild.
I want to spin so everyone in the room smells my exclamation perfume.
I want to wear something that's not beige.
I want to get fucked.
Basically, yeah.
So Randy is like, I don't know what to tell you. I guess if you want to keep partying, like, go out and have fun. I'm going home. And Candy was like, see you later.
Well, Candy was out, you know, looking for her fog machine, and she locks eyes with a man, a sexy man named Ricardo. Well, him and his friends were out boozing and jazzing and having a little fun. And then Candy takes some shots and she's like, I have an idea. How about we finish up here and we go to a motel and
celebrate in private with a threesome.
You all have suggested the most unserious show about very serious things. I'm going to need you all to check in. Are dumb bitches okay?
When we're covering a show and then they have to stop to tell us that the suspect is getting spit roasted, something's up. Something is up.
I think we've created monsters, Joseph. I think this is our fault. We need to take some responsibility here.
I mean, I love it. My dirty little girls. Oh. All my dirty, dirty bad girls. God, Daddy loves you so much. Little monsters, fog.
In the beginning, Joey said she had some mental health struggles. Well, they specifically tell us that Candace is bipolar, very common among many Americans. I'm not quite sure how medication counterbalances with alcohol. I would imagine it's sort of different for everyone, right, Joey?
I would guess so, yeah.
Yeah, but they do say that she suffers from impulse control. Great. Anyone with ADHD, so do I. The shit that comes out of my mouth, my brain doesn't consult with my mouth sometimes 2 to 3 business days later. So I get that.
I know about impulse issues, because that's how you end up in the corner of two strangers' room watching them do it, and you sitting there like, could I play some music? Y'all got a Game Boy in here? What's happening?
Well, I mean, you being the non-guest star of a threesome, Candy's over here showing up at men's houses in sunglasses. It takes all kinds.
Well, y'all, listen, this impulse leads to an affair because Candy and Ricardo are like, let's give it a go. They see each other all the time. They can't get enough of each other. The problem is, and I want to say that this is a big problem, Ricardo is unhoused. This man ain't got nowhere to live. And she's like, I can't afford to keep coming to the Red Roof Inn so that you can, you know, blow down my outdoor indoor house.
She's like, well, I can't have you sleeping on the streets. I would never be able to live with myself. Let's help you get into a shelter, or maybe a friend of mine has a room that you can rent. We can look on Craigslist or something. Just kidding. She decides to hide him in her closet of her bedroom.
Y'all, she moved this man into the bedroom closet.
Her bedroom. Not the guest room. Not the pantry. Her bedroom closet. The closet in her bedroom.
Does Randy have his own closet in another room? I don't understand. This, y'all, Ricardo is slumbering in a sleeping bag in the back of this walk-in closet unbeknownst to Randy.
She's like, shh, I'm gonna lay you down right here next to my inexpensive high heels. If they bother you, you can scooch them right over by my inexpensive sneakers. I hope you have a lovely night and good night.
You haven't seen the movie Poltergeist, have you? No? Great. You'll sleep like a baby.
Okay. I don't think you'll understand that reference because you don't know that movie. You know that little Carol Ann gets swallowed by the closet.
No, thank you.
Okay, so here's the thing. Candace has a job. She's supposed to go to work. But then she's like, I don't want to go to work. I got this hot man in my closet and I want to give him a rumble in the tumble every single day.
Time for work.
Every morning she tells Randy she can't go into the office because of her bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll see you soon.
This lie is the perfect cover.
My bipolar disorder, it's just making me not want to do things. Now, I am not coming for anyone who is bipolar. I know several people, but she wasn't going through an episode. She was using it as an excuse to go squat in Ricardo's pickle patch, which actually wasn't too far away. It was just right 2 steps away in her closet.
Yeah, I mean, you are exploiting this. You are exploiting your illness.
Completely.
So that you can get your back blown out every day.
And
look,
poor Randy is so sweet and understanding. He's like, absolutely, stay home. I'll see you when I get back. No problem.
So basically, Candace and Ricardo spent all day hanging out at the house, and they did this for like a while. And what Candace doesn't know is that Ricardo actually has assault charges. He has a criminal past going back to Mexico City where he's from. So, you know, he does have a violent streak. And about a month into this living situation, Randy comes home from work early to surprise his lady.
And he goes to the bedroom, you know, 3 little pathetic plastic flowers in one hand, and he goes to knock on the door and he hears moaning coming from the bedroom, and he's so upset. He's like, oh my God, who is Candy in there with? So he's full of piss and vinegar and charges into the bedroom, and we see reenactment Candace with a cucumber.
A giant cucumber.
The size of a freaking grown man's forearm, and she's like, sorry. And Randy's like, oh my gosh, honey, I did not mean to interrupt your cucumber time.
She literally was in the cucumber patch.
This cucumber was preposterous.
This cucumber was the size of Cleveland.
And Randy feels sheepish, and he's like, well, I'll never compete with that cucumber. And so Randy is like, all right, well, just, you know, she's having her cucumber time.
Yeah. Side note, one of our friends who was in Kinky Boots with us, she had a little daughter who liked to masturbate. She masturbated a lot, and she would do it by humping stuffed animals.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents didn't want to give her a complex.
Yeah.
So they taught her, they're like, well, when you're doing that, go into your room and close the door. And what the daughter called it was doing some work. And so one day her daughter's door was closed and our friend goes, honey, what are you doing in there? And all of a sudden she hears her 4-year-old daughter go, I'm doing some work.
Listen, sometimes you just need to close your door and do some work.
Later that night, Randy tucks himself into bed next to his wife, Candace, and tries to go to sleep.
So we see reenactment Randy fake snoring. The fakest snore you ever did hear. He's like... These people have seen nary an acting school. Anyway, he wakes up in the middle of the night to another man snores. And he's like, hold on, wait a minute, what's going on? And he hears snoring coming from, of course, the closet.
So he opens the door, which startles Ricardo. These two lock eyes, and Randy grabs Ricardo, yeets him out of the closet. Candy wakes up, and she's all like, no, it's okay, I know him. And Randy is like, you know him?
He's Marie Kondo-ing my closet. I hired him to move all my inexpensive shit around.
And that in that moment, Randy's putting the pieces together. And he's like, oh, you bitch. You weren't playing Tickle Me Elmo with yourself this afternoon. This guy was doing the tickling. Mm-hmm. So Randy's like, I'm going out for a walk. And when I get back, this dude better be gone. So Candace is like, I don't know what to do. I thought you moving in my closet was a foolproof idea.
Really did sound great.
Where did we go wrong?
When I say it out loud to myself even, I'm like, oh, I really didn't think this was going to go awry. So weird. And so they sit down and they try and hatch a plan. And Ricardo's like, you know what? Maybe that idea of me, you know, moving to a shelter is good. And then I can transition to maybe a halfway house or get a place of my own. Come to think of it, let's kill him.
Y'all.
This goes from closet to murder, blink of an eye.
So these two hatch a plan to murder Randy. So when he comes home and enters the bedroom, Ricardo ambushes him, right? And he beats him to death while Candace hides in the closet. And when it's all over, they put Randy in the bed, and then these two have sex in the same bed next to Randy's dead body. What the actual fuck? Now, you may be wondering, how do you guys know that they did that? I'd love to tell you. These two fucking disgusting pieces of shit recorded them having sex on their phone next to a dead man that they murdered.
It was as if they had a bowl, and in the bowl was a bunch of really bad ideas.
Yep.
And they're like, here we go. Whoop. Who on earth? I mean, the murder seemingly came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then to not only do that act next to your deceased husband, you filmed it?
It's fucking insane. It's insane.
When they're done, they take Randy's body into the bathroom. And that's when they decide to cover his head with the white plastic bag.
And from there, they go to bed. They go to sleep. They put on the white noise machine. They cuddle in. What?
I have no idea. The next morning, Candace wakes up. She's like, oh, I'm exhausted. Well, let me go take care of this here body now. Randy owns a hardware store. And don't forget, all hardware stores come with a murder aisle.
Yep.
So Candace goes and grabs a shovel, plastic wrap, duct tape, bleach, and a little bit of sodium hydroxide to be cute. And then Stephen Moore comes in to just really dumb down this show.
Well, they're not painting their house. They're disposing of a body. Look at Murder for Dummies, page one, supplies. That's what you buy.
Number one, I didn't know there was such a book, but thank you, Stephen Moore. Are we sure he was FBI?
I want to see this man's credentials. I believe his first name is Frank, his middle name is Bob, and his last name is...
Iannello.
Iannello. And so that's how he's became FBI. This man is full of shit.
So in the middle of cleaning up this crime, Candy gets a call from mother-in-law Barbara. And she's like, it's 1:15. Randy's never late for our 1 o'clock date. No exceptions, rain or shine. And so then Candy's like, oh, right. Randy's under the weather. Girl, think of something else. He's under the weather. Like, what, does he have a cough? He'll be better in a couple days. Nobody within this crime thought any further ahead than maybe 30 minutes.
It's true. Also, who talks on the phone to their mother every day at 1 o'clock on the dot? I mean, hey, listen, Ashley, let me not judge. I love it. You have that kind of relationship with your mother? Good for you. One man's dream is another man's nightmare. So in this moment, Candace realizes, holy fuck, I have to contend with Barbara. Like, I can't just dispose of this body. I gotta figure something else out. And so she gives herself a panic attack trying to figure out what to do. She is spiraling, and then she realizes, oh shit, I have to turn on Ricardo. Otherwise, I'm fucked.
Mm-hmm. And that's when she makes the decision to go to the neighbor's house, bang on the door, and blame it all on Ricardo. Well, back at the house, the police are still investigating the home, and they found all that evidence, right? They found the blood, they found the body, and they hear a noise coming from the bedroom closet. And they open the door, and there's Ricardo in his studio apartment, laying on his sleeping bag in his underwear. And they're like, what the fuck? Come with us. And they arrest Ricardo.
And dummy Candace is like, well, I think I'm good to go. I did that. Yeah. No, bitch. You didn't, actually. You didn't do nothing but leave a trail that leads right to you. So they bring Candace in for questioning, and they say, all right, look here, dummy. We know Randy was dead for a while when you decided to run to your neighbor's house and say that he'd been murdered. We're guessing about 16 hours. So what were you doing for those 16 hours? And Candace is all, what? What? What are you talking about?
And also, there was a dude living in your closet. And basically, in the words of another Ricardo,
Lucy, explain.
Yeah. To clinch it all together, this show should be called Dumb Murders, not Bizarre Murders. Remember those pictures they took, those grotesque and insensitive pictures they took with deceased Randy? Yeah, the cops were like, take a look at these pictures that you all willingly took. And Candace is like, oh, right. I forgot about that. And then just buttoning that this is the most unserious true crime TV show there's ever been, Stephen Moore leaves us with some advice.
If you're going to commit a murder, don't take selfies with the body.
And then he wants to add this.
Do you know who does that? Idiots.
Joey, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
This is our job.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ellen, can I talk to you real fast?
Yeah. What's up, honey?
I'm not doing well because this guy, Frank Bob and Anakani, whatever his last name is, I want to punch him in the face. And that's probably not, I don't want to go to prison. I won't survive it.
You won't survive. You're too pretty.
Yeah, so what do we do?
I say we blame it on Rick.
Okay. Yeah, great. I never liked that man.
Just kidding. I love you, Rick. Don't ever leave us. Yeah, listen, we're going to just fast forward. Both Ricardo and Candace were convicted and found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Also, it was first-degree murder because they said it was premeditated because of the walk that Randy went on.
Right.
But for being a premeditated murderer, they made a lot of meditated mistakes.
This is a who's who of idiots and what not to do in crime. Here's the thing, y'all. This did not take place in Roanoke, Virginia.
Yeah. Listen, this is a very unserious show. I love the reenactments. It's great. But this is still someone's life lost. So I was trying to find out more details. And so is Joey. So many details have been changed. This is loosely based.
Yeah. Honey, they took a page out of the DuckTales theme song when they sang, oh, rewrite history, because that's what these folks did.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, this does not take place in Roanoke, Virginia. It actually happened in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. And Randy, his name is Jeffrey Freeman. And Candy, her name is Martha Freeman. And Ricardo, his name is Rafael Rocha Perez. And he was not killed by a stiletto. That was dramatized. The autopsy report indicated that the cause of death was from strangulation. He did have contusions, and there was obviously evidence that he was beaten. And the medical examiner also found marks on his wrists showing that he had also been bound. And they're both serving 51 years in prison before they come eligible for parole. And these two knuckleheads have appealed. They appealed in March of 2008, and the appeals court upheld the trial court's judgment. Again, in 2014, the Tennessee Supreme Court denied to hear her appeal. They're like, Candy, we know you like the cheap shoes. Go wear your candies somewhere else, not here. Stop with this bullshit. Yep. You all know what you did. Sit in jail, rot there. Good luck with your project, and that's cats.
Yep, literally. This poor man. I mean, it really is. That's the thing. Like, I don't love that they decided to take weird liberties with the story because, like you said, like, this is a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
But the reenactments are ridiculous. I'm telling you that they put this together with some fishing wire and glue.
We wanted to choose a show because things are just so dark and so hard right now, and we're covering How I Caught My Killer on the Patreon, and it's a fantastic show, but the comedy is rough. So we appreciate getting a chance to make fun of these really bad actors and that really weird FBI agent that I don't know is an FBI agent, but a bunch of these people deserve a microwave to be thrown at their head.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly the props department and the directors and the actors and the set designers and the costume, everybody, all of them. Yeah. Say something funny, baby.
Well, listen, I think that actually in the world of apps, since there's so many and it's so specific, we could have made one specifically for you, which is like, hi, I'm looking for love-ish adjacent. Where I can just see you once a week and you live in your own house and you agree to always live in that house and you never, your toes don't touch mine and I see you, you know, a couple times a week for some prayer meetings, mm-hmm. wink, wink, and then you go back to your place. Emphasis on you go back to your place. This app is called don'tdotoomuch.com.
I love it. I'm an investor. Honestly, I think you're onto something there. I think more dumb bitches would agree. You come and tickle my bits, but you go sleep at yourhouse.com. I think a lot of women would agree. I don't want your mantos. You all dumb bitches, thank you so much for being here. Remember to check out our Patreon. You can sit in on Swamp Talk. We have rescheduled our sit down with Lacey Mosley. That's now going to be Tuesday, March 18th. And you can sit in live and chat and ask her questions. That's at the Take a Sprite and Leave and Above tier. Go take a look. There's lots of fun stuff, but just remember, we're always here for free on Wednesdays on your general feed. How else can they support us and get in touch with us, Joey?
Well, I would love it if you could go and follow us on all social media platforms. You can find us at I Think Not Pod on Instagram and TikTok. Also, every Friday morning, we drop our live episodes on YouTube. You can find us there at I Think Not Pod, where you please can subscribe, like, comment, send out to your cousins. I ask Plookie, I say how he's doing. Or you can go to Spotify, Apple Music, or Amazon Music and leave us a 5-star review. It's something really quick and easy you can do. Say something nice. And if you got nothing nice to say, go on over to Grab Bag Collective and say something to them. I love you all. I love them all.
That is right. There are so many ways that you can support us without spending a penny. We sure do appreciate you being on the Patreon. But liking, subscribing, commenting on our stuff, being a part of our community and our Facebook page, we love that too. Until next time, I love you, Joey.
What did I just say? Melon Marie?
Who that?
I love you too, Melon Marie Marsh. And I love you, DB.
I love you now, bitches. Bye.
Tumblr gave me hepatitis.
Now we cut to later that evening, and they show us the exterior of Randy and Candace's home, which I swear to God is the Little Women author Louisa May Alcott's orchard house. I swear to God, it is the most random thing.
I was going to ask how you know that, but this episode is running long.
I don't know where this bit is going. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'll make something up.
Cut that out, Rick. Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.